Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13 and Psalm 24. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has been now revealed to his holy prophets, to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Eastern sages were drawn to Bethlehem by a mystery. It was a star in the sky, a light to show the way to the true light. But it was nothing like they had ever seen, no comet, no conjunction of planets, nothing ordinary or even extraordinary. It was a mystery. And that light drew them on until they met the Christ child, and then they fell down and worshipped him. The old artists sometimes showed the sages kissing Christ's little feet, an image that serves well to illustrate this mystery. That the Gentile sages bow themselves before Jesus and worship him. The sages and the Christ child are the first of the mystery that St. Paul speaks of in his letter. He wrote to the churches that he is a prisoner of Christ on behalf of you Gentiles. That is odd phrasing. For what reason is Paul a prisoner of Jesus Christ on behalf of the Gentiles? He goes on to tell us it really is a mystery. The mystery, that very ancient mystery, is that the Gentiles, along with the Jews, are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This was not well known before Christ. Certainly it was prophesied and preached. You can read about it in Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. And yet it was not understood. The Jews themselves thought that they had come to understand it, and believed that they alone could be saved, and that if anyone wanted to be saved, they had to become a Jew like them. But you know that that's not true. You know Paul and the other apostles discussed that in Galatians and came to the opposite opinion. The Gentiles are included with the Jews in God's great work of salvation. That is a great mystery, and it is the great joy of Epiphany, that the Gentile sages from the East make their way to Jesus, worship him with their prayers, and give him offerings. But these men are of the uncircumcised. They are aliens and strangers. They did not have the word and promises of God. Thus they were without hope for eternity. They were part of those who were far off, who were not of the people of God. They lived in darkness of heart and mind. But God guided them to Christ by the star. They are the first of the Gentiles to be brought near and illuminated with the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. And so in meeting Jesus, they know that peace has finally come to them, that the middle wall partitioning them from salvation has been broken down, that the ancient enmity has been abolished in Jesus' flesh. The Gentiles are reconciled to God, and it was his plan to do this all along. They would no longer be called stranger or foreigner, but sons and daughters in the household of God. They would be fellow saints built upon the one foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ being their cornerstone. Jew and Gentile alike fitted together as one, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, St. Paul writes. And so he rejoices at this. But it is also the reason that he is imprisoned. For the Jews were jealous of this fact. They, for the most part, hated Paul's preaching. They did not want foreigners admitted to salvation unless they became as they were. And the Gentiles outside the church hated Paul's preaching, for he convicted them that their lifestyles were sinful and would bring them condemnation if they did not repent. And so he finds himself in prison for teaching such things. He was in the midst of Gentiles with their idol worship, their social constructs, their many immoralities, their worldly living. And he was in their midst preaching Christ crucified. He wasn't trying to make friends, and he wasn't trying to get along with everyone. He spoke of God's ancient mystery to them, whether they liked it or not. It is certainly a mystery that people unlike ourselves can be saved. We can certainly understand why God would love us, but those other people, how does he do that? In thinking such things, we find ourselves full of pride and arrogance, full of ourselves, as our mother said, to think that we deserve this salvation, but that God should limit it to those who are like us, and thus we are called to repent. This mystery Paul speaks of is why our churches welcome the stranger, the one who is not like us, who might even sit in your spot in the pew. We are willing to have a pastor who is not like us. We do not insist on having all the same type of people in our congregations, and if we do insist on that, I tell you, that is a dreadful sin, for you will find yourself opposed to the will of God in doing so, and may it never be among us. Repent. Our life together is part of God's mystery. God wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. St. Paul wrote, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And in that fullness of time, the Lord gave light to those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. In that light, the Gentiles were given the light of the knowledge of Christ. To them was given the gift of reconciliation in the blood of Christ, who blotted out the handwriting of the law against us. It was no ambassador, no angel who did this. The Lord saved them because he loved them and spared them and brought them into his house. The Eastern sages recognized Jesus as God in the world, God in our flesh. They are our representatives. They are the representatives of all the believers from the Gentile world who are no longer called other or outsider, but sons of God, brothers in Christ. Whenever we begin to think that our church or our congregations belong to us and that others need to be like us to join, We will find ourselves in need of repentance for our foolishness and arrogance. If we ever refuse to be served by a pastor because he is not like us, then we best return to the Lord with weeping and cries of mercy. Our churches are not our own, no matter how long our family has been a member there or how long it has been in the community. This is a mystery, that the church is the Lord's, that he would have everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come into our sin-darkened world to shed his holy blood, to bring us into his one flock. He has purchased us, yes, us, with all of our sin and guilt, shame and lies, deceit, anger, jealousies, hatred for others. He has covered us with his righteousness. He took all those things into his holy body unto death. And that death purchased our forgiveness. And if you have any doubt that you are forgiven, look to his resurrection from the dead, where he shows you his glorious wounds, and eat his living body at his altar. He has knit us together as one people in himself. You have been adopted as a son of God. Yes, you, a fellow heir, member of the same body, partaker of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Is it any wonder that Paul expressed such marvel at this great mystery? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend James and Angie Sharp, who serve the Lord in Uruguay. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.